Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the sixth day, Kaf Dalas Bishvat, Tavshinayin Hey, Parashas Mishpotim. The evening of the fifth day, Thursday, 12 February 2015, webcasting from the source of Obama's obsession. Israel. That is his obsession, and I say that on the basis of his inaugural address, in which he aggressed against the Jews, in America certainly. And on the basis of the next day's activity, his first phone call as President of the United States, who wanted to fundamentally change America, was to Abbas, the Holocaust-denying Muslim murderer of Jews, head of the most famous Jew-killing cult since Germany's Nazis. Indeed, and coincidentally, as I mentioned in my book, when Fatah came together as a terrorist cell, Arafat called his boys stormtroopers, in full awareness of the connection to Nazism, and in fact gave them photographs of Adolf Hitler to carry around in their pockets. And it's behind their cause, Fatah's cause, that Barack Obama stands. One fundamental change he made in American foreign policy was taking the side of the Fatah PA. In the matter of the 1967 lines, Israel, since 67, in harmony with the United Nations Security Council Resolution 242, has never foreseen a return to those lines, while the mantra of the Fatah is a Palestinian state based on the 67 lines, and Obama took their side, violating 242. In effect, he also, like the deep thinkers among Western anti-Israel leftists, wants to see an Israeli retreat from Judea and Samaria, where the Fatah PA will take over and administer their brand new, old new state of ancient Philistia, that they will bring back to life. And because Israel has not done that, agreed to that, Israel is in the doghouse. Israel is the obstacle to peace in his universe. Israel is also rebelling against the very wishes of the President of the United States when famous Jew boy Martin Indyk has tongue-lashed Israel for, quote, "If you want our help, you must do as you are told." I heard him say that one morning on Israeli political talk show radio and was amazed at how, like a villain right out of central casting, this man has become. He's a caricature of a Jew boy who has hired himself out to the Gentile tyrant to give the Jews their marching orders, from which, of course, he is exempt. In the death camps in Europe 70 years ago, barracks were administered by capos, Jews who for their betrayal, had better rations and were protected from the worst punishments. Here was Matt Indyk. Matin the Turkey, Turkey in Yiddish, is Indyk, and he is representative of certain kinds of Jews when Gentiles aggress, who feel compelled to publicly disassociate themselves from the people they were born into. It's a form of prostitution, and there was a top story in this vein today, which is to say the continuing tempest caused by the Prime Minister's impending speech and how it's affecting Jews in America, and particularly those in Congress. Who among the congressmen and senators of Jewish extraction will show up, and who will boycott? So far, for sure, and there's no surprise here, Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont will boycott. He was born a New York City Jew who moved to Vermont in the funky 1960s or early 70s as a sworn socialist, no adherent of the ideology of the Jews, their religion. He was a socialist, and has so defined himself ever since, not a Republican, not a Democrat, an independent socialist. Of course, he feels no affinity for us here in Israel, and it's more important to pledge allegiance to his president. Being asked to choose between backing the leader of Israel and the leader of his country, of course he backs his president, and if that means the Iranians get the bomb and drop it on Tel Aviv, God forbid, so be it, in the mind of Bernie Sanders. Another Jewish senator, Brian Schatz of Hawaii, will also boycott, and just as the sages taught thousands of years ago. One way the children of Israel maintained their identity in the two centuries they lived in Egypt, and as representative of the future diaspora everywhere, was giving their children Hebrew names. And here is yet another American Jew named Brian, whose wife is, by her picture, clearly from the Far East, not a Jew. And her name. And the odds are excellent. She was never properly converted meaningfully, or maybe not at all. For sure, according to his career as Lieutenant Governor of Hawaii, Brian Schatz applauded, like a good Democrat, sodomy and the marriage of sodomites to one another. definitely not a Jewish position. So, of course, Bernie and Brian will boycott the speech given by the head of the Jews in the Land of Israel, who does not support the policy of their president of the United States of America. Bernie and Brian are American patriots, and the fact that this president is also an enemy agent of America, well, this does not concern them. Loyalty for these post-Jews is the highest value, not concern for the people of Israel now being threatened by this enemy agent. Both countries. But it's among the J Street types that hostility to Israel is most pronounced this week, where the venom spit in Israel's direction is most apparent and loaded. Maybe you saw their advert with the message, "No, Mr. Netanyahu, you do not speak for me." That was words put next to a picture of a grim-looking Bibi. Notice the focus of these self-styled leftists and or progressives here. It's not on the danger to the very existence of the state of Israel, but on me. You don't speak for me. That's the message. Because Bibi said he speaks for Israel and all Jews, you don't speak for me. I'm the most important actor here. So the issue for these J Street types, who I have found borderline delusional, the issue is their own self-identification as people not to be identified with the Jews in Israel, who democratically chose this man to lead them. To be opposed to Bibi is to be opposed to the people of Israel in this democracy. It's just further evidence of how it originally the left stood for has morphed radically into something else altogether. Once the left, the socialists, were concerned with decent working conditions and livable salaries, with social injustice done to Negroes, with the communists demanding outright nationalization of all business, as in the Soviet Union, the left today, though, is a little concerned with social and economic distress and much more with issues of personal enjoyment, these contemporary narcissists of ours. It was in the 1970s that American intellectual Christopher Lash wrote a very interesting and pioneering book on how the 1960s culture had produced, his book's title, A Culture of Narcissism. And the J Street Boys don't want to be identified with the hated Jews in Israel, led by that dreadful Mr. Netanyahu, who does not love the ancient Palestinians and does not cry himself to sleep every night over what the Zionists did to them and continue to do to them. J Street launched a petition stating that not all Jews agree with Israel's prime minister regarding Iran and the relationship with the White House. Yeah, serious percentage these days of people calling themselves Jews voted not once but twice for Obama, the Muslim Brotherhood agent, with maybe a half of them calling themselves Jews who are not legally. This is what the reform blessing of intermarriage in the early 1980s has led to. And how interesting that Obama, who was sold to the electorate as the culmination, the end of racial divisiveness in America, he became the great polarizer among the races, and he's also now the great divider among Jews in America. Then again, with every passing day, it becomes less an accurate description of Jews in America to call them Jews, since the majority now know no more about Jewish belief and practice than their Gentile neighbors, their Gentile wives and Gentile husbands. And in this atmosphere, and in light of the gravity of the situation, I think Bibi can and should, in his speech, pull out all the stops and truth that we in Israel, not just him, not just Benjamin Netanyahu, we in Israel have lost faith in the goodwill of this president of the United States. He who passed over the truth that the slaughter of Jews at the Yipel Kasher was no random act of urban violence by some guy going postal, but with the deliberate massacre of Jews, no less than any deliberate massacre of Jews in thousands of years of history. A president who overlooks that fact has no credibility in the eyes of the people in Israel. Neither are we impressed with this president's management of American foreign policy in the Middle East, our neck of the woods, in the forever bleeding Middle East, whose leading religion, Islam, is a violent anti-Semitic doctrine. I think Bibi might think of verbally drawing a bead on Barack Hussein and metaphorically shooting him between the eyes and exposing this fraud for the anti-Semitic, anti-American, anti-Christian villain that he is.
מתחילה כמעה כמעה וכל מה וכל מה וכל מה שהיא הולכת היא רבה מתחילה כמעה כמעה מתחילה כמעה כמעה ואין לך אפלה גדולה מאותה השעה שלפני השחר מתחילה כמעה כמעה מתחילה כמעה כמעה מתחילה כמעה כמעה וכל מה שהיא הולכת היא הולכת ורבה היא הולכת ורבה היא הולכת ורבה איילת השחר איילת השחר איילת השחר שבקעורה כך היא גאולתם של ישראל איילת השחר איילת השחר שבקעורה כך היא גאולתם של ישראל מתחילה כמעה כמעה מתחילה כמעה כמעה בכל מה בכל מה בכל מה שהיא הולכת מתחילה כמעה כמעה מתחילה כמעה כמעה ואין לך אפלה גדולה מאותה שעה שלפני השחר מתחילה כמעה כמעה מתחילה כמעה כמעה מתחילה כמעה כמעה בכל מה שהיא הולכת היא הולכת ורבה היא הולכת ורבה איילת השחר איילת השחר שבקעורה כך היא גאולתם של ישראל כמו איילת השחר איילת השחר שבקעורה כך היא גאולתם איילת השחר איילת השחר איילת השחר איילת השחר, איילת השחר, איילת השחר שבקעורה, כך היא גאולתם של ישראל. איילת השחר, איילת השחר, איילת השחר, איילת השחר, איילת השחר, איילת השחר, איילת השחר.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Prime Minister Netanyahu in his address to Congress deliver an apostrophe to Obama. That's a technical term meaning an address to someone who is not present at the moment. Netanyahu can ask the president why he is doing this. Why is he letting these people sworn to our destruction progress toward the manufacture of even one small old-fashioned A-bomb? Which would be sufficient. And indeed, one of the Muslim lunatic priests who rule in Tehran even said that in public some years back. He said, all we need is only one Hiroshima-sized bomb to destroy the state of Al-Yahud. God forbid. I would applaud our prime minister for doing that, asking the absent President Obama why he is letting these Iranians, who were involved in 9/11 and so many other acts of horror, known these days as terrorism, that's politics outside the boundaries of civilization. Why is letting them do this? Terrorism is the weapon of gangsters, outlaws, who recognize no laws of war, no civilian criminal law either. They are barbarians. Now, Bibi's goal is to persuade enough legislators to vote to sanction Iran more heavily than ever, not to lift sanctions, have enough to override Obama's veto. The Behast has shown sanctions to have been effective, and there's no greater evidence of Obama's hostility to Israel than his partial lifting of sanctions last November. Simple logic should have led him to the intensification of sanctions. He has twice before, Bibi has, won dozens of standing ovations in Congress, giving a speech. And now he must make the speech of a lifetime in order to strengthen the hearts of these congressmen and women and senators to go against their president's policy because, as the prime minister said this week, quote, the U.S. offer to Iran would threaten Israel's survival. Bibi has to tell Congress that what their president is doing with Iran is no more worthwhile than his policies have been elsewhere in the Middle East. Bibi should tell them clearly, politely, but truthfully, that his life experience as a native of Israel, as a soldier, a politician, a diplomat, makes him a better analyst of Israel's situation than Barack Hussein. And Bibi should say that we in Israel do not believe that working as a community organizer on the south side of Chicago or showing up from time to time in Springfield, Illinois, as a state senator is sufficient preparation for understanding what goes on here and making fateful decisions about the Jewish people in the land, the wasteland that we brought back to life. Bibi must convey to his audience that as Obama botched Libya, botched Egypt, botched Iraq, and so forth, he hasn't got a clue over the right path for Israel to take in the Middle East vis-a-vis Iran. Our lives and our freedom, our society are on the line, and diplomatic protocol and politesse will not stand in the way and should not prevent him from speaking the truth. And when it comes to the Middle East, Barack Hussein Obama is, in Israeli eyes, a know-nothing and worse, a malevolent know-nothing, hostile to Israel, hostile to the interests of America and the West. I hope and really believe that Bibi is being helped these days, unwittingly, by his rival for votes, Naftali Bennett. On Sunday of this week, as Minister of the Economy, he addressed 26 of the 28 ambassadors from the EU stationed in Israel and told them, quote, to single out Israel to twist our arms economically in the hopes that we will commit suicide because financially we'll get hit if we don't is immoral from my perspective, close quote. Good. And I think speaking like this also drives Bibi to be more direct and bold in his statements. Here was Bennett telling these European anti-Jews, you're asking us to commit suicide, and I hope Bibi can lay it on the line like that for Obama and his audience in Congress and say that what Obama is doing is a threat to our survival, and this is no way to treat an ally. Problem is, of course, that Obama is a Muslim, and that's why he omitted the reference to slaughtered Jews in the Hippo Kasher the other day. That's why he did not fly off to Paris over the Charlie Hebdo massacre. He is ideologically, emotionally incapable of criticizing fellow believers, those who took revenge against infidels, who mocked Muhammad, his prophet, the greatest of all time. Obama said in his 2012 address at the UN that the world had no room for those who slander the prophet of Islam. Charlie Hebdo staffers did that, and thus got what was coming to them in Muslim eyes and hearts, like his. I think, too, Bibi is being energized by Bennett's shameless patriotism and Zionism. This week, the prime minister scandalized the arts community here by sacking two judges from a committee tasked with handing out the most coveted prize in Herzlandia, called the Israel Prize, in this case for literature. The two sacked were two professors, one at Tel Aviv University, one at Hebrew University in Jerusalem, because, in the prime minister's judgment, they are anti-Zionist. Bibi shamelessly wrote on his Facebook page as acting minister of education that he had the authority to fire these two academics for their anti-Zionist political views and activities, including the functionally seditious advice to soldiers from one of them not to serve in the territories as such types called Judea and Samaria. And he took this step in protest at the one-sided political makeup of the committee, of these judges who, like our Supreme Court judges, are dominated by the anti-religious left. Bibi said this committee, quote, had too little authentic representatives of large parts of the nation. This situation in which a small enclosed group of extreme positions passes the baton from hand to hand and retains control over the selection of the winners of the Israel Prize has got to change. Because the Israel Prize belongs to all the people of Israel, close quote. Amen.
יצרי עכשיו, יצרי מלכת. לא אל תלכי, אני עוד לא מוכן להתעורר כשאת עינך לידי. עכשיו זה שלכת, וזה תמיד דומה, ואני לאן אלך. יצרי עכשיו, יצרי מלכת. לא אל תלכי, אני עוד לא מוכן להישאר כאן כשאת עינך לצידי. עכשיו זה שלכת, וזה תמיד דומה, אז אלך לאן שלך.
Listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Yeah, I'm rooting for Bibi, all right, to make a barn burner of a speech, his best ever, which might include mention of the story of Purim. His speech will, in fact, be delivered the day before the Fast of Esther, as we prepare for the next day's Purim celebration, when we celebrate our survival after death threats from Persia, precursors of today's Iranians. And as the climactic scene in the Purim story is the exposing of Haman to the king, plotting to kill all the Jews in the Persian Empire, Queen Esther's people, so Bibi might expose Obama for the true villain he is, as evidenced by his policy toward Tehran. He is one bad actor. Daniel Pipes today reported on a closed-door meeting in the White House 8 days ago between the president and more than a dozen Muslims living and working in the States as academics or in Muslim NGOs. Pipes called them, quote, a curiously unimpressive and motley collection of modestly accomplished individuals of little renown, close quote. And he noted most were, most importantly, Islamists. Not one of them was an anti-Islamist. One imagines that this is an organization striving to be like the Conference of Major American Jewish Organizations, only for Muslims, only for Islamists. Unlike the mostly de-Judaized but very patriotic Americans in that umbrella group, Islamists by definition, all of them want to fundamentally change the country, just like their host. And he, just like them, is an accomplice of conquering Islam. There's no other way to understand his policy choices. Too many people think he's incompetent. I don't. I think he adamantly refused to fly to Paris to honor victims of Muslim Avengers. So all of his moves in the Middle East can be categorized as no serious resistance to the March of Islam. In his mind, Mubarak was a non-religious military man. That is, he was too non-religious for Obama's taste, while the opposition was the Muslim Brotherhood, which believes, as Obama believes, in the rightness of having a government of pious Muslims over a more secular set of rulers. This fellow, as we saw at the National Prayer Breakfast a week ago, sees his job as explaining Islam to America. It's not explaining America and defending America to Islam and from Islam. Like all Muslim anti-Jews who dominate at the UN, to the detriment of other world problems crying out for help, so Obama, in his obsession with Israel, has done nothing of note to defend fellow Christians in the Middle East and fellow black Africans, Christians, being murdered by the thousands, by Muslims in Africa. In Nigeria, they say hundreds of thousands of people already have been turned into internal refugees, homeless in their own country, after fleeing marauding Boko Haram savagery. Thus far, according to reliable reports, in addition to the masses of refugees, the communities they ran from, their schools, churches, police stations, homes, have all been destroyed and looted by Boko Haram. And you would think this self-advertised Christian in the White House might use the power and resources of the U.S. to defend these people. No. He's too busy negotiating, if it can be called that, with Iran, in order to allow them to keep Israel in a state of perpetual fear of an atomic bomb launched from Iran. Hope Bibi speaks the truth, which should include sticking it to this evil man. And while he's at it, give it to John Kerry as well, who recently was rated the worst Secretary of State in a half century. He who betrayed his country and his fellow comrades in arms in the military in the 1970s, this male Jane Fonda of that era, who has his own record of anti-Jew nastiness.
לשמח את עצמו בכל הכוח להתאמץ להרים את עצמו למעלה כן נכון זה קשה אבל זה משתלם לשמח את עצמו בהשם ושלא עשה אני גוי אוי 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 צריך לשמח את עצמו בכל הכוח להתאמץ לא ליפול למטה כן נכון זה קשה אבל תדע זה כדאי לשמח את עצמו בהשם ובצדיקים כן, יש לנו חיים טובים אוי, 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 אוי תענוג להניח תפילין אוי, בכל בוקר להתפלל לקדוש ברוך הוא אוי, 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 אוי להיות עבד של המלך המלך הגדול אוי 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 אוי
Okay, that's it for this week, and I'll be back, God willing, after the Holy Sabbath. Until then, Laila Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Me'eretz Yisrael.